God bless everybody that's here early. I like that, especially when it's me. So each of you should have two sheets of paper. One sheet of paper has got words on it that are fruits of the Spirit, and the other sheet of paper has got scriptures on it.
She's got it.
So if you only have one sheet of paper, you're missing one.
I found that I had to have a plug to protect the left, but so I left them home to find
it. Right? One's got scriptures, one's got words. Okay, and from Sunday, so have you ever had a list that somebody gave you a list and they said, okay, here are dolls and baseball bats and toy trucks and ball gloves and basketballs and basketball hoops and what kind of things are you naming?
Toys.
Things that people could play with. So if somebody else gave you a list, and you remember everything I just said, and they said, okay, over here you got basketballs and dolls and baseball bats. What's that list up?
Toys.
Okay. And then somebody else gives you a list, and they say, here's a list that you have baseball gloves, and you have basketballs, and you have basketball hoops. What's that list up? But they're still toys, right? Okay, so sometimes what you see is that you see a list of things that just because you see a list of things doesn't mean that somebody took the trouble to make the list have every single thing that's like that that exists. Have you ever seen a list that's incomplete in that way?
Sure.
What would you do if somebody told you to go make a complete list of toys?
Give them back to them.
Okay. What would happen if somebody told you to make a complete list of tools?
Same thing.
Power tools then. Power tools. Other than if you enjoy it, you'd be making the list forever. What if somebody asked you to make a list of animals?
Almost infinite.
It's a really long list, right? I mean, so are you used to seeing incomplete lists?
Yes.
Everybody used to see an incomplete list? Raise your hand. So, okay. So the reason I'm bringing this up is that when we look in Galatians chapter 5 and we look at the fruits of the Spirit, what I'm going to suggest to you is those are the fruits of the Spirit and they show that the Spirit is in you, but it's an incomplete list. And there's other places in the Bible, and I gave you, and they're written on your paper, okay, that you can link these up. And I gave them to you Sunday. So Galatians chapter 5, Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Colossians chapter 3, James chapter 3, and 1 Peter chapter 1 are prime examples of places where you see the fruits of the Spirit. And guess what? There's only one of those passages that it says the fruits of the Spirit are. But guess what fruit is in every one of those? What's the most important fruit?
Love.
Okay. Guess which one's in every one of those? Love. Okay, so these are all incomplete lists of fruits of the Spirit, or at least Christian virtues. Now, if somebody really wants to be hard-nosed about, well, it didn't say the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, Galatians chapter 5 is the only one that says that. But all of these are lists of things that are fruits of the Spirit. Also on Sunday, I shared with you right at the end that there are some religious schools of thought that will teach you, would teach you, that the Holy Spirit, for all intents and purposes, went home after the Bible was written. Right? For all intents and purposes, the Holy Spirit just went home after the Bible was written. There's not going to be any miracles. There's not any personal indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not in you. Okay? You'll hear that from some. There are some other folks that would tell you that you have to have the Holy Spirit in you, but for you to have the Holy Spirit in you, you have to have the Holy Spirit like they did in the first century. I was watching the TV this week, and there were these people that lived somewhere in the Smoky Mountains or whatever, and guess what they thought they had to do to prove that they were saved? Snakes. Okay. And guess what? They were showing this family, there was all big deal about this, and one of the sisters in the family became unsaved right there on the spot, which was really inconvenient for her because she died. Okay, and then the legislature passed the law, and the family, before the funeral, went down to campaign against the law, and they got them all up there with their snakes and everything. How many of you want to handle snakes? Are there any of you snake handlers? One snake handler here. I don't like handling snakes. I mean, I grew up with poison snakes. I don't like snakes. You know what I'm saying? Water moccasins like this. Okay. Copperheads.
Copperheads.
Yeah. Rattlesnakes. I mean, people start talking about picking up snakes, and you know what? I'm going to be somewhere else. Somewhere else. I'm going to be somewhere else. So I'm not handling no snakes. Dave Smith was talking about the excesses of the church in Corinth, and he was talking about one of the things that was a gift of the Spirit that they had that they were abusing, and he suggested that maybe that one would be easy to fake. You guys remember what that was? Speaking in tongues, and he talked about Babel, remember? So when you think about Babel, and I think, Glenn, you were talking about one of our sisters that was connected with a church that after she became associated with them, they were going to teach her to speak in tongues. Right? Every year when Glenn Chisholm baptized the lady right up here and she came up babbling? Yeah, I thought we were going to have to catch Greg.
When I was in preacher school, there was a church in Oak Ridge, Dallas section. Oak Ridge section of Dallas with a ladies' class, and the preacher was teaching a class and asked one of the ladies to go to a Pentecostal group and learn how and come back and demonstrate it, and he had a volunteer do that.
Yeah.
I worked with a Pentecostal first hand, and he told me that they taught the folks how to do it by saying the phrase, "I love Coca-Cola." Yes, I did it very fast. And I said I asked him about the, you know, about the hypocrisy and all that. And he kind of knows the same word for Coca-Cola.
So Dave might have had a point. Okay, but there's folks that tell you unless that you've got some gift like that, that you don't have the Holy Spirit in you and you're not in the right relationship with God. There are other folks, and this is the one that I suggested that we're more likely to have a problem with. I mean, I don't believe this, but I think we're more likely to have a problem with this in the church, that teach that, yes, you have the Holy Spirit in you. You know that you do because of a logical argument that Jesus said you're supposed to be baptized in the water and the Holy Spirit. And if you're baptized in the water, therefore, Jesus promised you get the Holy Spirit. So it's there. You just can't tell it. Anybody ever heard that argument? Here's one. There's one. Anybody else? Yes?
You remember Aunt Linda, don't you? Aunt Linda, don't you?
Yeah.
You know, even little kids would get the shaking and the rattling and the rolling and speaking in tongues. I heard church there.
Yep.
The one to one hadn't been saved by Christ yet.
Yep.
Oh, I'm thinking about this, and I remember when I saw it, I was thinking, wow, what is going on here?
Yeah, and Myron knew him after they tamed down, is that she came to little churches across the street, the church in Kewlin, and it used to be like on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night, sometimes the church would just have to give up and go home because they couldn't even hear each other talk. I mean, pretty excited. So, but the churches of Christ is more likely you're going to hear this other argument. This other argument is the Lord promised you're going to be baptized in water and the Holy Spirit. You've been baptized in water, therefore you're just supposed to know that you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and there's no evidence of it.
Well, I hope that is not our standpoint, because there is evidence.
Well, yeah.
Yeah,
that's where I want to go with this. But this is something that you could find somebody that would be a prominent preacher in the Church of Christ to tell you that. Okay.
What? A lot of them.
So did you hear this? This guy went to preacher schools. How many did you say?
A lot of them.
Yeah, a lot of them. Okay.
Why did they say that? Why did they say that?
Because they didn't want to handle snakes.
Because they
didn't want to handle snakes. I'm serious. Is that the thing about it is that if you live in a community and you're associated with people that does all of this other wild stuff, and they're saying it's because of the Holy Spirit,
right.
You know what? It's pretty natural. It's pretty normal for you to say, "Wait a second, I don't want any of that," and then make logical arguments.
Surely the folks in the Church of Christ are around with the saints
and John. No. What I'm saying is that they have a logical argument that says they don't need to do stuff like that.
Yep. That's the cop.
Yeah. And he can stay way over there. Arkansas would be better. Right? Okay. Arkansas is close enough for me to Copperhead. I don't want to get anywhere close. I might even come up with a logical argument if you said I had to pick up snakes. But there's one last one, and that is, Dan talked to you a week ago. And what did Dan tell you that, how do you know it's a coconut tree?
It has
coconuts on it. How do you know it's a grapevine? It has grapes on it. How do you know it's a tomato?
By its fruit.
How do you know it's a jalapeno pepper? Oh, you know, with a little tag on the, you know, with a little tag on the box, yeah, where you bought them. No, you know by the fruit that they put on. And the Holy Spirit has always been about evidence. If the Holy Spirit is in you, you will have evidence. If you're a spiritual person, the fruit of a spiritual person is spiritual fruit. So it's pretty important to know what the spiritual fruit is, because that's what you want growing. That's what you want to grow and develop in. Let's look in this passage over in 2 Peter chapter 1. Hopefully I'm getting the right one here. If I miss on this, forgive me. I've been a little frantic this afternoon. But 2 Peter chapter 1. Dan, you have that one? This is verses 5 through 8. Let's see if I got the right one first. Yeah, and read verse 8 twice.
For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faithfulness and to your goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance. And perseverance godliness, and the godliness brotherhood kindness, and the brotherhood kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and uncorrupted in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Repeating it, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and uncorrupted in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, and if you read a New American Standard, King James, whatever, they state that last, that little phrase a little stronger. Instead of saying being ineffective and, what did it say, ineffective and what?
Unproductive.
And unproductive. It says useless and unfruitful. So it's talking about if you don't have these things and you're not growing in them, if you are growing in these things, it's going to cause you to be useful and fruitful. So you're gonna bear the fruit. Just look at some of this fruit. And this is some of the same fruit that's back in Galatians, isn't it? What's the fruit? What's the first one? Tell you what, you guys sing out what the fruits are and I'll write them down.
Diligent.
Diligent. What's it mean to be diligent? Keep on trying. Okay, what's another?
Moral excellence.
Morally excellent.
Knowledge.
Knowledge. How do you get knowledge?
Book.
You gotta read the book.
Perseverance. Keep on keeping on.
Perseverance. That might be diligence.
Nope.
But it's not?
Separate.
Okay, we better stop and think about this.
Self-control is number one.
Self-control. Godliness.
Patience.
Love. That one I think you're going to find here one of these. Oh, yes. Well, somebody said patience. Did I miss patience? Okay, so there's three of these that are kind of the same thing in a lot of minds, right?
Well, without digging, and I'm just talking completely off the top of my head, but I can see a difference in one being hanging in there when you're not under any kind of duress, and hanging in there when you are.
Yeah.
I've always thought indulgence being you got a task, and it's going to get what you want.
So when your father told you to diligently weed those, whatever it was you were growing in your garden, beans, what did he mean for you to be doing?
Not go play baseball or something else, but I should be weeding the beans.
When he looked out there at that bean field, he expected to see you
weeding the beans, being diligent.
Working on it.
And when you run, there's no weight.
My Bible says diligence is perseverance.
Persistent. Okay.
I came up with steadfast.
So
it's not that hard to do it right if you're going to do it.
Okay. I think the key word around diligent is you're supposed to be doing something. That means always faithful. So faithfulness we will get to. So patience means you don't give up. Right? It's a long suffering. I'll bet you got a King James back there, Dwayne? No? I'll bet it says long suffering if you had one. Does anybody have one?
Well, I don't have diligence in the one that we just read.
Okay.
What does your saying, verse 5?
What's that?
What does your saying, verse 5? Now applying all what?
For every reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control.
Every effort.
And to self-control perseverance. And to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. For you, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive.
Okay. Are any of you guys Outlaw Josie Wales fans?
I'm not saying that to be argumentative.
No, you're not.
What's up?
Any of you guys fans of the Outlaw Josie Wales? Do you remember Chief Dan George, the guy that played the old Cherokee Indian in that? And he was talking about getting the coat, and he went to Washington, and the guy gave him a speech, and he had his picture taken with him, and he told him to endeavor to
persevere.
And then the next day they saw a newspaper, and in the front was a picture of him and them, and the headline said, Indians pledge to endeavor to persevere. And he said he went home and declared war on the United States. Right? What do you think the guy was talking about when he said persevere? The guy that told them, you endeavor to persevere, what did he want them to do?
Stay friends.
Stay friends?
I would say that's where the rubber meets the road. You know what I'm saying?
I think he meant he wanted them to put up with him messing around with them.
Yeah.
He was going to do them dirt until they were all dead, and he wanted them to put up with it. Do you ever feel like that's what you got to do?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been in a position that's what you have to do? So, Byron, you mentioned Semper Fidelis. If you're an embassy guard and you're standing guard out in front of the embassy and somebody comes by and they're messing with you, what are you supposed to do? Put up with it. Right? Okay, so...
There's rules.
Yeah. The guy that's standing watch, though, has to remember what his job is, and even if it's going to injure him, he has to put up with it. Sometimes a Christian has to do that, too. Okay, so that's kind of a tough fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Do you like that one? I wish they left that one out. I don't like it when people annoy me. Do you? Have you ever had somebody just on purpose annoy you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I did that to my brother's cat one time. I'll tell you what, that was an unhappy cat.
My dictionary says for perseverance, first word after that is persistence.
Okay.
But it does give a little better explanation.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's in theology to remain true to one's faith in Christ despite persecution and suffering. All true believers persevere though they may have lapses in faith. And then synonyms is steadfastness and endurance.
Okay, and in the middle of that it said Christians
remain true
in face of
despite persecution and suffering.
Persecution and suffering. So somebody's messing with you and you still gotta stay true, right? Okay, so hey, those are kind of tough, aren't they? And if you have these, if you build those up, and you know, I have seen this so that these were done like stair steps. You ever seen like a picture of these are stair steps that one leads you to the next? And they're good stair steps. They really are. But they're just hard to do. Well, if you're not real patient and you have a little trouble putting up with somebody on purpose persecuting or annoying you, how are you going to do that? That's hard to do, isn't it? Am I the only one that's hard to do for?
No.
Well, how do you feel like when you're trying to get to church and somebody pulls out in front of you and drives 10 miles an hour for a long way? Yeah. I don't think that's the answer we were looking for. Yeah. Well, what do you do after you get out from behind a guy 10 miles an hour and a train stops you?
I should have left earlier. I should have known that train was coming.
You should have known you were driving in Waterloo, right? So, okay.
I've done these things in class last week called coping skills.
Yeah?
You know, one of them might be applied.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm going to suggest to you there's something better than coping skills. Anybody guess what that is? How are you going to manage to do these things that are hard for you to do? Remember John Brandis talking about learning to ride a bicycle? How do you do that?
Never stop trying.
Well, he never stopped trying, but he had somebody to help him. Does it make a difference having somebody to help you? If these are fruits of the Spirit, who might you hope would help you?
Besides the Spirit?
No, pretty much the Spirit, right?
I also would hope some brother or sister would stand beside me if I asked for it. And I hope I would ask.
Yeah.
Support from the Spirit can come not only from within, but from without, too.
Yeah, somebody else might have the Spirit.
Send it to you.
Right. Because people are that way, is that like, I mean... You remember being a single person? You remember being really high and then being really low and then being really high and really low? You remember that?
How does it stop after you're married?
I have big impressions about being high.
I've had plenty of those.
What? When I'm down like that, the exact answer to that is the Spirit. And I think of a phrase that Abraham Lincoln said, that you're about as happy as you want to be.
Yeah.
You know, and when I start getting down and things start depressing me, I have to think of the positive things and let the Spirit bring me back up. That's the truth.
Yeah. Doesn't hurt to associate with spiritual people, though. Other people trying to do this kind of stuff. Right? Okay, so let's look at another one of the passages. Romans chapter 12, that's a goodie. Romans chapter 12 begins in verse 9. That's me, I'm sorry. I'll move it down some further. At least I ain't like Dan, I don't get excited and start hollering, so sometimes I breathe on the microphone, I'm sorry.
I'm working on
both. Yeah. Why don't we just 9 through 21? Who's Dwayne, would you read that for us?
Love must be sincere. hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Love and harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited.
Okay, keep going down to 21.
Got to turn the page.
Yep.
We'll see nothing. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of fire on his head. That, the last part of that is one of the things I have a problem with. You know, I am ready to solve those problems on my own. By doing that, I don't sometimes act real godly.
Mm-hmm. You got one more verse.
I do.
Yep.
21.
Yep.
Okay. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Okay, so there's so many people that they see something evil and they're going to do something evil to overcome it, right?
Sometimes that can be me, especially if it's somebody real close to me.
Don't get mad at you, even.
Does that work?
No. Would you say don't get mad at you, even? That would be one phrase that I'd probably use.
Yeah, does that work?
You can't get even without being mad at all.
Again,
the way I think about it is how I'm saying that, because that's one of my problems, is this temper part.
Okay, so let's go back down and look at this, and what are the fruits of the Spirit? Some of the fruits of the Spirit, you're going to call them out, I'm going to check them off because they're already on the list, right? So what are the fruits of the Spirit?
Love. Respect.
Who are you supposed to respect?
The elders.
What's it say there?
Respect what is right.
What is right?
Diligent.
It says diligent again.
Abhor the evil.
Abhor evil.
Cling to good.
Rejoice, rejoice. That's kind of joy, ain't it? Okay.
Keep the spiritual fervor.
Fervent. Okay.
Hospitality.
What's hospitality mean? The desire to entertain guests in your own home.
Is the desire enough?
Well, I would refer you back up to this one.
If you never want to do it, but you always, you never do it, but you always want to do it, is that enough?
We can practice hospitality. Yeah, that was.
Says you got to do it.
Does the heaping burning coals upon his head, is that part of the hospitality?
Don't.
I kind of say I ain't going nowhere.
But maybe part of that answer, Byron, could be verse 21, where it says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil."
any of you ever like marched or prayed like for a political candidate? Nobody? Oh, one guy, okay. Did you ever have anybody heckle you?
No, we were passing out candy.
They prohibit that in Waterloo, unfortunately.
They don't do that in Douglas County, Georgia.
Yeah, I know. I believe it. Okay. I helped a guy named Lyle Waters. He ran for the Board of Supervisors. I don't know if any of you know him. He lives over at Jessup. Really nice guy, old farmer. And so somebody called me and said, hey, would you help this guy? And I did. And so I'd do things like walk and praise with him and give out buttons and stuff like that. And you know what? Every once in a while, we'd walk along the parade and somebody up in the crowd that for some reason didn't want anybody to vote for him would get just really, really ugly, you know? I mean, we're just walking along passing out stickers and stuff, and you know, just, you ever seen that? Huh?
In personal contact, not in parade, but in personal contact.
Yeah. Parade is good.
They did not say, hey, did that get taken care of? Yeah, back for murdering our children, didn't. Mm-hmm. That was my answer.
So somebody's in the crowd and they're doing that. Do you know what keeps burning coals on their head? You look back at them and you smile and you wave like they said, God bless you.
Give them a piece of candy.
You can't do that in Waterloo.
Give them a book.
Yeah, pass them a button sticker. But the thing is, smile at them. You know, like, don't return back what you're getting from them. I mean, what's the worst thing you could do?
Get angry.
Give them that reaction.
Because guess what? That's one person, and if you give them that reaction, how many people are going to see you doing it?
Everybody. Maybe on evening news.
Me? I don't think so. But everybody that was in the group would see it. Beth?
Well, it doesn't tell us that he's burning coal. It says, by acting as God would have us to act. It's in essence, to them, it feels like burning coal. So it's a challenge for us not to participate in that, and instead remember that we're representing that the love God has for everybody, even those people that don't behave very well.
So let me ask another way. Has anybody ever treated you graciously, really nice, when you didn't deserve it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it makes you feel kind of guilty, don't it? Yeah. Travis, you want to say something?
Yes. I think the example we're talking about is balance, but I don't want to say that up front. I personally don't find it very difficult to control my tongue with people smart off in an evil way toward them. I think the challenge of this verse comes to the deeper seated issues that truly hurt and make a change in the course of our lives. Not someone who just acts ugly, you know, who may be a complete stranger in a moment's time. You know, we have family members that hurt us. We have people that act with hostility toward us on a regular basis. We have people who persecute us because of the gospel. And there will be multiple occasions where we have to make a decision on how we're going to interact with that person, whether we are going to offer assistance when they could use it, or refrain from doing something that would be hurtful, spiteful, or ignoring a problem when we have the opportunity to do good. I think those are some of the deeper challenges we face, and often they actually come with our own brethren. I've seen as much ugliness in the church in my lifetime as I've ever seen in the world, as far as my own experience goes. So, I think it's more than just controlling our tongues. And if there are, when there's a longer term relationship there, this gets to be a lot more challenging.
Yeah, and Beth, I'll see you, go to you next, but let me say one thing, is that, do you know how many lives are spoiled by husbands and wives saying something that they shouldn't? Many. Beth?
Quick guy, also, not only as a husband and wife, but as people, in good service, not to bear grudges, not to hold evil thoughts in our heart, because that interferes with his ability to use us to reach out to those very people. So, I mean, it goes back to look what you forgave us of. And why, well, where did we get off thinking that we could hold a grudge against anybody for pretty much anything they did to us?
Doesn't do much good. So, Dwayne?
I just wanted to say the answer that I give that particular person, and that would be probably a standard answer, is not okay. And having said that, there are a lot better answers I could have given than that, because that I, if by doing that, I displayed that I was angry. And he didn't, or he or she did not have to ask me more.
Yep, that's what they want. Sam?
I had a huge problem with anger driving for many years, and I remember very clearly one time when I was living in Arlington, Texas, that a man pulled in front of me, cut me off when I was doing something, and I was just flaming angry. I was going to pull right up beside him and give him a piece of my mind. I pulled up beside him, looked over, and with one of the deacons, he gave me a smile and a wave. And I realized at that time, I really don't know who's the most useful people, and I really treat them all like they're my brothers and sisters. And it's helped a lot in dealing with it. It doesn't cure it, but it's helped a lot.
Richard Rogers said he did that.
Yeah, I think some of the worst drivers in the whole world are in Fort Worth, Texas. Fort Worth, Texas, and they ain't very good in San Diego, and they're not real good in Austin. So, but anyway, you should try driving through one of those places in a Winnebago. Oh my! So,
some people are braver than that.
So, Sam, would you read Colossians chapter 3? Chapter, verse 12 through the end of the chapter. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 through the end of the chapter.
And so as to those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against any one, just as the Lord forgave you, also should you. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. To the word of Christ, and let the word of Christ dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to Him, through Him to God the Father.
Okay, go back up to verse 12. There's two words that we haven't got up here yet. What are they?
Compassion.
Humility. What's compassion? What's it mean to have compassion?
Care about that person. That's having compassion.
I don't know if it's much instead of caring about them, but being concerned for what they're going through. You know, the situation maybe that they're going through.
So now growth of love for sure.
Yeah. Well, compassion, if you take it apart, the old meaning of passion is included in that, which is not necessarily lust. It is just a deep and abiding love for somebody else. And compassion is passion for a companion.
Passion for a companion. Want to help them, okay? I mean, at my house, I mean, I'll admit, Sharon has me, you know, if you come to my house, you're looking for compassion, everybody goes right straight to Sharon, you know? The kids fall down, bang their head, whatever, you know. They, you know, I'm going to tell them, don't do that again. Right, Byron? Yep, yep. So, okay.
Which one of your brain cells told you to do that and why?
Yeah, maybe. So, but the thing about this, though, is that, but you know, Sarah, oh, you got a boo-boo, you know, and it's like, I mean, she's, I mean, it's just her nature, right? I mean, so maybe women are better than that for most cases. So, but compassion, was Jesus ever moved with compassion?
Yeah.
How many times does it say he did something he didn't intend to do because of compassion?
I don't know if it says he did something he didn't intend to do, but it's speaking because of compassion.
Yeah. He was whooped. I mean, he was beat. I mean, he was so tired, he was trying to get away from everybody, and he stopped and he helped somebody from compassion. Right? Remember when they let the guy down through the ceiling?
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll bet the guy that owned that house was mad. They tore his roof apart to let somebody down. So, okay. So, compassion. It means feeling for somebody else, empathy. And then this one, humility. Oh, you could talk for a long time about humility. Does the world have a problem with humility? What's the opposite of humility?
Pride,
arrogance.
Egotism.
Being egotistical, really stuck on yourself, right? It's all about me. Humility is...
others.
You're worried about others. Does humble mean feeling like that you're worse than everybody else?
No.
Well,
that means that you put others' interests before yours, that you're concerned for their well-being before you are for your own.
Yeah, that'd be an outgrowth.
Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do.
I think that was compassion.
That would be compassion.
Yeah, treating them better than they deserved.
That's right.
So, Travis?
Scriptures describe Moses as the most humble man on the earth. This was a man who issued death penalties, ground up metal objects, and forced masses of people to drink the powder. Burned in hot anger a number of times, and various other things that we might list. David was a king who led armies, slaughtered people, and the scriptures show his heart for God and his recognition of who he was. And given those two very pronounced biblical models, I would call humility a proper recognition of place, a realistic view of one's place.
Mm-hmm.
And when we honor God, place Him above ourselves, the way we relate to other people follows that. The compassion, the hospitality, the interest in others rather than the pursuit of one's own fleshly desires. Those things will come pretty much naturally if our mind is rightly recognizing who God is, how we relate to Him. That's going to flow through us to other people.
Mm-hmm. There has only been one man who ever lived who was more important than any other man. And he lived as if he weren't. Let me try that on you again. There has only been one man who ever lived who was more important than any other man, and he lived completely as if he weren't. Am I right?
Because of what you mean by important.
Well, I mean important. I mean, it's like, you know, that this person is of more worth or value than another person.
I think I clearly see the point that you're making, but
I can read that point to you, I think. It's,
well, yeah, dude.
His attitude of service to others and his willingness to forego the rights and exaltation that are properly his as a son of God.
Amen. That's probably connected to that passage that's talking about he existed in the form of God, but he emptied himself, becoming in the form of a man. subjected himself to death, even death on a cross. So he didn't even ask for a special death. So that's what humility is. That one's kind of hard to do, right? You ever hear, who was the guy that used to sing the song, "Lord, It's Hard to Be Humble"? You guys know that song? Yeah, okay. I just checking. You don't remember who it was? In most every way, yeah. Okay, so, yeah. Okay, so I think we got a couple of minutes. Why don't we go to James chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. I'm going to guess you guys, I think you guys already talked about with Dan, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, where it talks about the virtues of love, what love is like. Love is patient, love is kind, right? Let's go over to James chapter 3. And again, it's 17 through 18. Might even read verse 13 there while we're at it. Who? Glenn, would you read verse 13? And David, would you read the other verses here, 12 through 17? Or 17 and 18, excuse me. So Glenn first, verse 13.
Who among you is wise and can show by his good behavior his deeds gentleness of wisdom?
Ooh, gentle wisdom. And 17 and 18, Dave?
The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. A seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace.
Okay, so how are you going to sow the seed of righteousness? Peace. You can't make people be righteous. You have to sow it in peace. So, on Sunday, we're out of time, but on Sunday we're going to talk about this part of what we're doing, the fruits of the Spirit, is this growing in you. This is really the most important thing we'll talk about all quarter. On Sunday, we're going to talk about how does this change us? What does this empower us to do, knowing that we've got the Spirit in us? And next Wednesday, we're going to talk about everything you've got this question. Dan's got a question about what does it mean to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Okay? And if you've got some question, write it down so I don't forget it, because I'm kind of absent-minded. It doesn't say for the spirits that you're not absent-minded here. I'm kind of absent-minded. Write it down. Give it to me on Sunday, and I will prepare for it for next Wednesday night. And I think next Wednesday night is our last class, if I'm adding things up right. Okay? Thanks for your kind attention. We'll see you on Sunday.